point to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the situation room. Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that I say or you hear somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning, good morning to all of you out there in radio land. Thank you so kindly for joining us this morning in the Situation Room. It's always a plum pleasure to have you tuning in, listening to us in the Situation Room. We have a great program for you. I'm always excited on Tuesday because most of the time on Tuesdays we have marriage questions and answers most of the time. And today is one of those times. I have with me in the Situation Room none other than my lovely wife, Marion Wilbert. Good morning, Marion. How you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Glad to have you right by my side this morning in the Situation Room. Did you have a good breakfast this morning?
I did. Did you have a good breakfast?
Yes, I had my oatmeal. That's right. You know, I have almost every morning other than the weekends. I'm going to either have me some oatmeal. Now, probably one day a week, I may throw some grits in there. But for the most part, I like my oatmeal.
Okay.
Yeah. We got some marriage questions this morning.
We do. We got have some real good marriage questions today.
All right. All right. All
you
right.
You ready for them?
Well, before we get the questions, let's give out some contact information just in case our listeners have some marriage questions or they have some Bible questions, because we do with, you know, the Bible questions normally on Wednesdays. Or if you have just some questions pertaining to the Christian life, you can send those in. You can email them at BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. Or you can call them in at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. All right. Sister Wilbert, let's go on and get these marriage questions. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. I am ready. Let me get my Bible. I'm ready. All right. What's the first one?
Question number one. My mate has a lot of friends of the opposite sex. Is this normal?
Is this normal? So the mate has a lot of friends of the opposite sex.
Right.
Well, if you invited me over to your house for Sunday dinner and all the women's were in the living room having a Bible study and the men's were in the den having a Bible study, but let's say I want to hang out with all the women's in the living room rather than hang out with the men's, would you think that that would be normal?
No.
You don't think that's normal?
No, it's not. Unless you're gay.
Okay.
Or you feel more comfortable, or you have those feminine qualities. Not qualities, but another word for those.
Uh-huh. In other words, either way it go, that would be abnormal.
Right.
That would be abnormal. You would think something strange. You mm-hmm. walked in a room and that was one man with all these ladies. And then you go, you keep walking and you're going back to the den and you see all the men's back there. Mm-hmm. And you say, wait a minute, why is this guy? I know if I walked in a room and I saw a man up there in the front with all the ladies, and then I walked in the back, and I would go up there and ask the guy, hey, you know, all the men's are back here. Mm-hmm. And if I can't convince them to come back, then I would think something is wrong. Or if he get back there and then he go back to the front.
And by your statement, it could be that something could have happened to him dramatically when he was growing up.
Uh-huh.
Boys could have been, he could have been raped by another man or whatever. And he has that fear of being in a room with a lot of men.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was just that's kind of, let me bring back here to this question. Let me get back to this question here. That was good, but I want to get back to this question. My mate has a lot of friends of the opposite sex. Is this normal? I was just using that illustration as an example that would be not normal. And so I don't know if this is a lady or this is a man, but that just wouldn't be normal.
I agree.
That wouldn't be normal because she acts and he acts and, you know, is this normal? And so, no, that's not normal. I believe that the family and friends can mess with the cleaving process. See, it's not normal for a married man to have a lot of women's friends or for a married woman to have a lot of men's friends. And I think that family and friends can mess with the cleaving process. See, the Bible talks about cleaving, pulling together over in Genesis 2:24. Remember, Sister Wilbert, that passage says, therefore shall a man cleave to his, he leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave
unto his wife,
and the two shall become one flesh. And so the family can mess with that cleaving process. That's why God tells that man to get away from the family. Well, if God would tell him to get away from family, family is the highest relationship. Your parents is the highest human relationship until you get married.
Right.
Well, if God tells the man, to get away from family, the highest relationship, then all those other relationships as well.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to make room for his wife now.
Mm-hmm.
So those friends that at one time they may used to come by every Friday, every Saturday or something like that, no longer that should be the case, because we got to make room now for that new wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so friends, yes, friends most definitely can interfere, can interrupt. That person wouldn't be asking that question. They wouldn't be asking the question. And that question again was,
my mate has a lot of friends of the opposite sex. Is this normal?
No, it's not normal. And see, that person wouldn't be asking that question if they don't have peace about the friends.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have peace.
Okay.
And so if a married person started sharing his problems with his friends of the opposite sex, then that opened doors for an affair. That's going to open a door. So you got to be very, very careful. This, matter of fact, this is how most affairs start out. It starts with the married person sharing some personal problems in the marriage,
mm-hmm.
Which goes against the Bible, according to Titus 2:2-8. Older men should teach the younger men, and older ladies should teach younger ladies. So it's the men's talking to the men's,
and the women's talking to the women's,
and okay. And you pointed out the older,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So it needs to be the older. You start having problems when you cross it, a man start talking to the lady about his problem, or the lady start talking to the man about the problem. Remember, Marion, we was reading. Studying out of the book, His Need, Her Need, and in almost every one of those chapters, they would have an affair, and it started out. How did it start out?
With the lady telling the man her problems, and then the man telling the ladies his problems.
Yeah.
And so then you have this sympathy for one another, and then it, you know, turn into something else.
Yeah, and the next thing they start...
Lunch.
Having breaks together, then they start having lunch together, then they start talking after they get off work out in the parking lot, then they start, you know, driving to the park where they can talk a little bit more, and the next thing you know, they ending up at a hotel somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer our friend's question there, no, it's not normal. And I would really, you know, sit down and I would talk to your mate about your concern and let him or her know that, you know, he needs to break it off with these friends and pray and ask God to give him or her the strength to do so. So that's kind of how I would handle that, Sister Willie.
All right. You ready for question two?
Yes. Uh-huh. Let's go on to question number two.
This is a good one.
This is a good one. All mm-hmm. right. We ready.
It says, my mate never wants to have sex when I do. What can I do to fix this problem?
Mm. All right. My mate never want to have sex when I do. Okay. Well, I would sit down. What I would do, I would sit down with my mate. I would get me a pen and a paper.
Okay.
And I would ask him or her to give me, you know, the reasons, you know, why you don't want to have sex when I do.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say pen and paper is so you can write it down. So you can write it down, write down the problems, and leave room enough on your paper to write down the solution.
Okay.
So I would write down, you know, number one, and then write it down, whatever your mate tell you, and then I'll leave room, and then I will write down the solution, how we can fix this. And such as if your mate say to you, well, you get off too late for us to have sex. That's why I don't want to have sex when you want to have sex, because you get off too late. For instance, let's say the man works second shift, Sister Webb, and he works from 3 to 11. Is that most second shift?
Most second shift, yes.
3 to 11. And he might not get home until, let's say, midnight. And if the wife works first shift from 7 to 3, then they got a scheduling problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see why, you know, your mate don't want to have sex when you do, because
you're tired.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Because of scheduling.
Yeah, and she got to get up early in the morning. So they have a they have to schedule a time for sex. They have to schedule a time where they can get together.
Okay.
So sit down, write down the problem, then write down the possible solution. Such as, let's say, like, we're going to have to schedule time for, let's say, Friday night. Because let's say, if they're working from Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And so she don't have to go to work on Saturday morning. Then they can schedule some time Friday night. Schedule some time on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule some time on Sunday. So it'll have to be kind of a weekend a thing for them or something like that.
Okay.
But that could be fixed with scheduling. But be very honest. And if it's more than one, write down, you know, one, the problem, then solution. If she says something else, he says something else, write down number two, whatever that problem is, and then solution. And that's kind of what I think, Sister Wilbur.
Mm-hmm. And then, too, if a mate has cheated on each other, they may have a struggle to have sex.
Uh-huh.
You know, if your mate has been raped or molested in the past, then he or she will struggle to have sex. Or if your mate was in a bad marriage, they will struggle. So there's a lot of different factors that can be bought into this. But if your mate was taught that sex is dirty, they will struggle.
Uh-huh.
So you may need to, you know, seek counseling for those kind of problems.
Yeah, though you brought up some very serious issues there. So that's why, you know, I said earlier, they got to be very honest with each other. You got to be very honest with each other, because if that mate has cheated, like you said, in the past, then there's a barrier, there's a blockage.
There's a trust issue.
Yeah, so they need to probably get in some counseling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that book that I used to use, Sister Wilbur, that I often use, is Torn Asunder. There's a book, Torn Asunder. I forget the author. David, I can't think of his last name. Start with a C. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they may have to work through something like that.
Okay.
If they done been raped and those kinds of things like that, those are some serious issues. And so all of those lit things that you brought up, that can hinder the wanting to, you know, be intimate.
Mm-hmm. And getting back to the cheating part, you know, with the with cheating on each other, then you're looking at health issues here.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah, that's
a concern factor.
There's a lot of fear. Yeah, you know, you brought up, you know, the fear factor and mm-hmm. all of that. So there could be a number of reasons. That's why they need to sit down and have an honest dialogue.
Communication is the key.
Yeah, they need to sit down and, you know, work it out. Sit down, problem, solution. And if they still can't work it, resolve the problem between themselves, then don't be afraid to seek help for your marriage. Go out. God has got some godly men's and women's that can help you work through these kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it could be right there in the church. It could be, mm-hmm. you know, could be their pastor, or there could be a professional counselor right there in the church. So seek out some help right in your church first, and then if you can't find it there in the church, ask your pastor, a spiritual a leader that you know, to refer you to a good counselor. All right, Sister Wilbur, do we got time for another question, I believe?
Okay, here's the question. My husband would like for me to stay at home and be a stay-home mom and raise our children, but I don't see how. My husband say that we can make it on one income, and I just need to have more faith. Should I step out on faith and believe God?
Good question. Well, first of all, I want to commend you for having the desire to be a stay-at-home mom. A lot of ladies, that society makes a lot of ladies that they feel somewhat inferior, make them feel like a stay-at-home mom is really not that important. Mm-hmm. But the stay-at-home mom, being a mother is job priority, mm-hmm. Number one.
Mm-hmm. And you have to commend the man.
Uh-huh.
Because he wants that. He wants his wife to be a stay-home mom to raise their children.
Uh-huh.
Whereas today, I mean, a lot of men don't care.
Yeah.
You need to get out and help take care of the bills.
Yeah. Career is often put priority over family. And so look like this man got his priorities in the right order. But the question that need to be asked is, who's watching the house? Because, you know, the devil want to get both parents so busy that nobody got time to watch the house today. So, you know, with all these careers, we have to ask the question, well, who's going to watch the house? Somebody need to be watching the house. And look like this husband want the wife to watch their house. So that's good. Somebody needs to be watching the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's why our world, Sister Wibbert, is in the mess that it's in, is nobody's watching the house.
True.
You got both parents out working, the kids are raising themselves, mm-hmm. and things like that. And so I commend this couple for wanting to go back home, and this man for wanting his wife to go back home and watch the house, take care of the kids.
Right.
But they asked this question, and it seemed to be a financial problem. You know, the husband, he wanted to do that, but the wife is saying, I don't see how, you know, mm-hmm. how we're going to make it on that one income. Well, for you to go back home and live on one income, it's going to take a lot of prayer and budgeting.
Okay.
You and your husband needs to be in agreement and make sure that you are led by the Lord and not your emotions. Make sure your husband is being led by the Lord and not the emotions, because that's a noble thing, you know, for the wife to go home. But is it really feasible? But if the Lord is leading you to step out in faith, well, get your house in order, make some preparation, and you may have to come up with some creative ways to make it, but I believe you can make it.
Yeah.
I believe you can make it. Sister Wilbert, remember when you decided to come home?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, somebody referred to us, Larry Brockett, that his
financial freedom.
Money management.
Mm-hmm.
And we got his money management book, and we got on that budget. And actually, things was a whole lot better on us because we started saving a little bit more. Because mm-hmm. By you working, that was two lunches, two cars.
Yes.
We was trying to take care of the maintenance on two cars, the gas on two cars.
Daycare.
And it was cheaper on you coming, yeah, daycare. It was cheaper on us by you coming home because you really wasn't making that much to put, you know, another child in daycare.
True.
So we was able to make it with prayer and budgeting and discipline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be very disciplined.
Uh-huh. The discipline and the desire. Mm-hmm. So if you got the desire and you got discipline and you got determination,
you can make it.
You can make it. And all of that is summed up in the faith in Almighty God. Remember this lady, there's a story, Sister Wilbert, in the Bible. And we can close with this story. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Remember this lady, this widow woman.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband died.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to Elisha and told Elisha that, you know, my husband done died. And it's just me and my son. And I don't know how I'm going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And Elisha asked her, what you got in your house?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I got just some oil. And he told her to go and borrow some bottles. And he said, don't borrow a few, borrow as many as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And she went and she borrowed some bottles. And he said, now go ahead and start pouring the oil in the bottles. And she started pouring oil in the bottles. And God started working a miracle.
Kept multiplying
and he kept multiplying that oil over and over. And then she ran out of bottles.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't run out of the oil. She still had more oil, but she didn't have no more bottles. And so he told her, now go ahead and sell all of those bottles of oil. And she went and sold all that bottle of oil. She was able to pay off all her bills.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elijah told her, go ahead and live on the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So God will show you how to make it in creative ways. And even if God have to work a miracle, he still is in the miracle working business.
True.
All right, Sister Wilbert, those were some good questions today. Hopefully we have helped our friends out there in radio land to help them in their marriage, if they are married, hopefully that has helped them, or if they know somebody that's married, hopefully that
they can pass the word on.
Alright, well, the clock on the wall is saying that's all, Sister Wilbert, for this portion of The Situation Room. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
All right, and thank all of you out there in radio land for tuning in today. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour we minister in the word, and at the bottom of the hour we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book, let you listen to a portion of a sermon I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. That's our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, we missed any of these programs. Guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So stick and stay. Don't you dare go away. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner. Right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.